Ladies and gentlemen, a very good evening and welcome to Zomato Limited's Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. From Zomato's management team, we have with us today Deepinder Goyal, Founder and CEO, Akshant Goyal, Chief Financial Officer, Albinder Singh Dhindsa, Founder and CEO of Blinkit, and Kunal Swarup, Head of Investor Relations. Before we begin, a few quick announcements for the attendees. Anything said on this call which reflects outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement may involve risks and uncertainties. Such statements or comments are not guarantees of future performance, and actual results may differ from those statements. Additionally, please note that this earnings call is scheduled for a duration of 45 minutes, and we will be starting directly with the Q&A section of the call. If you wish to ask a question, please use the raise hand feature available on your Zoom dashboard. We will announce your name on the call and unmute your line, post which you can proceed with your question. We will wait for a minute while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Aditya Soman from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So two questions. Firstly, can you elaborate a little more on the take rate in quick commerce coming off? So while you've explained why we've seen profitability worsen because you've brought forward sort of the acceleration in stores and warehouses, can you talk about the quick take rate? And then the second question, related question, why do you feel so confident about profitability improving in quick commerce? I understand the sort of store maturity. Can you give us a sense of what proportion of stores will be mature, let's say, in fiscal 26? Thank you.
I'll take the take rate question. So, Aditya, the take rate difference that you see every quarter and quarter is usually just a mix of product mix itself. So, OND is typically a quarter where we also see more sales of electronics products, more sales of general merchandise and some of the other categories, which percentage take rate-wise are lower, but overall revenue profile is healthier. So that's usually the delta that you see. There is no significant trend for the take rate in the quarter that we've observed for the core or for the non-core categories.
Understand. Thanks. Very clear.
And Aditya, on your second question, see, I think like there, what we've given in the letter is sort of broken up our business into the top quartile cohorts of store and the bottom, just to showcase the fact that investments into newer stores, which are much younger in terms of utilization, lower than others, is leading to the profitability at an aggregate level reducing, right? So I think that trend we have said, as you said, is likely to continue as we continue to accelerate the pace of new store addition. But as you can see from that chart in question two, that stores which have matured are still generating healthy amount of contribution margin. And that sort of gives us confidence to continue the expansion that we are doing right now.
Understand. And is has this also been a function of just a faster new city addition? Because I'm assuming that with new cities, you'll need additional logistics, warehouses, and obviously the AOV could be lower to start with, or frequency could be lower to start with.
Yes, that's actually right, Aditya. But I think new cities are still a very small fraction of our overall expansion. So it is one of the factors, but not the only one.
Understand. And so majority of these new stores then would be just densification in the existing cities.
That's right.
All right. Very clear. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankur Rudra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. The first question is on the reason for the accelerated additions and the bringing the growth forward. Is this because you see a bigger opportunity in the market versus before, versus matching competition in the space? And secondly, just sticking with the cities side, you know, our data suggests you've gone very long in terms of probably perhaps over 80 cities. Can you talk about what is the opportunity you see beyond the top 10 or 20 cities, which we understood in the past was a core value proposition, and how the unit economics, the average bill values, and the time to break even changes here?
Yeah, hi, Ankur, Akshan this side. So see, I think I don't think we took a sort of a very conscious call on accelerating the store expansion. It's more an outcome of the work that we've been doing for the past many months. And you know, it just happens to be that we were able to add a lot many new stores than what we envisaged maybe a year ago when we gave the guidance of getting 2,000 stores by March 25, right? And so on. So I think over the last 1 year, you know, we've built organization bandwidth to be able to expand faster, and increasing confidence in the business is therefore allowing us to continue at that pace. So I don't think the pace of expansion going up has anything to do with any decision that we have taken in this quarter, right? It's just like naturally where we are today is a natural outcome of what the work that we've been doing in the past. And on your second question on the smaller cities, you know, as I mentioned, I think 80% of our business, or maybe more, is still in the top 8 cities. However, we are seeing a fairly healthy traction in the smaller cities wherever we have entered and opened the store and launched the service. From an economic standpoint, also these smaller cities on a sort of payback basis or ROI or ROCE basis look attractive to us, and therefore we continue to open more stores in these cities. And I think as we look forward next 1 year, a larger portion of our new stores are now going to be in these smaller cities compared to what we saw in the last year. And I think once we build some fair bit of density in these smaller cities is when we would publicly share more data about how these cities are any different, if at all, from the larger cities.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question on the you know, the fallen take rate as well. Overall, the unit economics also seem to have suffered a bit on quick commerce. Could you talk a bit about, was it entirely just the upfronted cost of the network and warehousing, or was there anything on the marketing costs or subsidies perhaps given out to match with the competitive activity in the space?
So our marketing cost went up, as we've also mentioned in the letter. But then marketing, when we say marketing, we mean the digital marketing cost, which is below contribution, but above EBITDA. Our discounts are nearly zero in our business. We are a marketplace business, so there's sort of hardly any discounts that are funded by us on our platform. The other part of take rate that exists is the delivery charges that we charge consumers. We have seen a slight decline there because of you know, the market and the competition being where they are on the delivery fee. So more or less, the decline is not significant, but yes, that has also partly contributed to the decline in take rate that you see.
Thank you. Just last question on food, if I can. Can you share a bit of the color on the food growth momentum you're seeing? Was it a lot worse in December? And was there any impact of a lot of competitive activity on short duration food delivery? One of your peers launched that. There's also a lot of, you know, cloud kitchens being launched by you and by competition on the 10-minute side. Any impact of that on the food consumption and what you've seen?
Ankur, I don't think any of this has so far had a material impact on you know, our sort of Zomato restaurant aggregation food business. I think all these things, any form of 10-minute delivery in India today is, I think, at a very early stage and will not move the needle at all, even if you aggregate and put it together. Like, for example, at Bistro, we are live in only a handful of locations. You know, other form of quick deliveries also are largely cannibalizing the existing business. It's sort of making the experience better. So I don't think what you're saying in terms of focus on quick deliveries, I don't think that has anything to do with the slightly lower growth that we have seen in the business last quarter.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vivek Maheshwari from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, team. A couple of questions. First is on the food delivery again. So, Akshant, the newsletter mentions about the broad-based slowdown, and this is a comment from other consumption-oriented companies also. Do you think for you as a company or for this as a category, it moderates further before it starts picking up? Your letter mentions again about, you know, things picking up. But do you think, because a lot of consumer companies are talking about, you know, urban being seeing more moderation in the foreseeable future before it gets better? What is your take?
Look, we don't want to pistol ball gaze here. These things, I think, very hard to predict. These things are a function of a lot of variables, and most of them are not in our controls. So I don't want to, at this point, comment on how this recovery will pan out. But yeah, what we know is what we have reported, and then we see how it unfolds from here.
Okay, and through the course of the, you know, let's say the latter half of the quarter, so November to December end, was it broadly stable or, you know, any change through the course of those, you know, few weeks?
It's a very short time period, and with also a lot of seasonality, festivals, winters coming in and so on. So I would not therefore read too much into how those 6 weeks, 7 weeks panned out. Let's wait and watch. I think this quarter will tell us on how the recovery is and what we are seeing.
Okay, got it. Got it. And on the second bit on the AOVs for Blinkit business, sorry. You know, last quarter you mentioned about the seasonality. So the AOV was 660. Now it is comfortably over 700. Do you think this is the new norm that we should look at from a next, let's say at least next few quarter perspective?
No, Vivek. So the AOVs that we are mentioning here, I think one is in OND, we see the festival impact on the AOVs as well, which with every passing year, we are seeing the festival segment being a larger and larger portion of the business whenever they come around, especially the Diwali season. So I think a lot of that is an impact of that. Some of it is the impact also of the higher ASP categories like electronics actually becoming larger for us. But this is not a secular trend across, you know, quarter on quarter. I think this would probably be a trend to more look forward on a year on year basis.
Got it. And last question, Albinder, on the Blinkit business again, the retention rates, you know, what you have mentioned in the newsletter is like, is very, very good. But, you know, in the context of competition and, you know, we have seen, let's say, horizontals also getting into quick commerce. Do you think, you know, getting, so you are comfortably above 1 crore customer or 10 million now, to get the next 10 and the next 10, do you need to incentivize much more? Because, you know, let's say if I'm as a user, let's say I like Blinkit and that's why I'm so used to the platform. I come there all the time. But the incremental customers, one, because of the affordable, or let's say is going to be less affluent, so to speak. And the other bit is can be, you know, would be chased by so many, you know, platforms, including the newcomers. How do you think it unfolds over the next couple of years? The incremental users I'm thinking about.
So to borrow Akshant's phrase, I don't want to crystal ball gaze over here. See, I think the fundamental truth in our business is that we have to, you know, present ourselves to the customers for them to consider us and use us as a platform. And once they do that, then it is the consistency of the service, the quality of the service, which retains the customer, right? And that has many dimensions apart from just pricing. So we are confident that when we talk about those dimensions and our retention rates, because of everything that we do on that end, we should see similar trends going forward as well. We will see the increased competition impact the cost of presenting ourselves to the customer, which is primarily today our digital marketing cost, right? And because there will be more competition over there, we expect that number will go up. But that doesn't impact how we look at our business or what we prioritize, right? Which is essentially the things which drive the retention for us.
Got it. Got it. Thank you and wish you all the best, team.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Swapnil Podduke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on Blinkit. So earlier, we used to provide a data point wherein we used to say that they, to reach 1,000 stores per day per store, it used to take around 2 months. I would just like to know if what would be the time taken by the newer stores, which have been open in recent months, to reach that 1,000 number, because that is the number where we typically end up being contribution positive. And a related question to that is, does the densification of store network in some of the cities have an direct impact on your throughput of existing stores as well because of cannibalization?
Yeah, hi, Swapnil. So on your first question, I think broadly, no material change in terms of the break-even point compared to what we had shared earlier. If there is, we will sort of tell all the investors and update them. But I think we still draw ballpark operating in the same zone of sort of store break even in around 2 to 3 months. That's what we are seeing right now. I mean, this answer is also linked to your next question. I think some of this is also linked to what that new store is. Is it a new area, a new city, or a sort of additional store in an existing neighborhood? But as a whole, overall aggregate new store addition group, I don't think that timeline has changed at this point, right? And yes, you're right. If you open a store which is in an existing area, it does lead to not cannibalizing the existing sales of an existing store, but it does lead to a slowdown in the ramp-up of the existing store, right? And hence, to that impact, it sort of reduces the utilization of the network, if you know what I mean. And hence, it sort of drags the margin down a little bit in the short term. But it builds more capacity for future expansion and assortment expansion.
Okay. By any chance, would you have any SSG kind of a number that you can share for some of the more mature stores and how they are tracking?
See, again, as I said, SSG will not make sense here because we are still adding stores in the same neighborhood. So if I open a new store in the same neighborhood, the first store SSG will actually not make sense. So maybe the right metric to look at is SSG of a polygon or a neighborhood, right? And we do track that data internally, but we don't share it publicly yet at this point. But I think what I can share with you is the SSG is quite healthy at this point because most of the network is still from a capacity standpoint underutilized, and from a demand standpoint also our penetration in the market is still low. And hence, as we add more category and as we reach out to more users through marketing, we are seeing a fairly healthy SSG at a polygon level.
Got it. And the second question is with respect to your category addition. You mentioned some categories like electronics, high-value electronics, maybe laptops I saw somewhere. My question here is like, how do you account for the high MRPs in your, AOV? Do you consider the MRP as AOV when it comes to this kind of electronics? Or do you take the commission income, which was, I think, in the case of mobile phones, you used to take the commission income in the AOVs? And does that have a correlation to your AOV increase for this particular quarter?
So, Swapnil, it's a good question. So outside of F&V category, where we account for the selling price as the AOV, outside of that, for all other categories, the MRP is counted in the definition of AOV, and that's what our, I mean, that definition is there in our letter, and it is disclosed. However, as we are seeing the share of products where there is the delta between MRP and what the brand and seller is selling at is increasing in our business, I think we are considering disclosing more data from next quarter onwards, which can help shareholders and investors understand the actual customer paid AOV as well as the gross GOV that we are currently reporting.
Got it. And then in your letter, you mentioned some, that your growth investments will continue in Blinkit. Now, the question here that I would like to ask is like, should we see your absolute losses increasing henceforth, or should we expect the percentage number to, come down a bit? I mean, any trajectory wise will be helpful there.
So at this point, again, we don't want to give more guidance than what we've already given, Swapnil, and I hope you'll appreciate that given market is dynamic, competitive. So we'll see, I think, but directionally, yes, as we mentioned in the letter, we do expand, we do expect the investments in Blinkit to go up, and as a result, the losses on an absolute basis go up in the next 1 or 2 quarters.
Got it. And just one last question on food delivery as well. So now this is a bit of a hearsay. We have been hearing that some of the restaurants have been, renegotiating their take rates with you guys, the commission rates. And I think your take rates have not meaningfully increased in this quarter, despite the fact that there was a significant increase in the platform fees. That benefit has not come down your reported take rate. Is that the reason are you renegotiating those commissions?
Not at all, yeah. I mean, commission renegotiation is a part of our business. It happens every day, every quarter, right? So I think nothing special that we are aware of in this quarter.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. All the best for you for future matters. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Yogesh Agarwal from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, so couple of questions. Firstly, on the top 50 stores, obviously they are mature stores and the throughput is very high, but the contribution margin is 6.4%. So is that the peak one can expect, or even for these stores, CM will go up, and what will lead to further expansion, if at all there will be?
Yeah, Yogesh, hi. So
Hi.
I don't think this is the peak. I think see, in this business right now, even for the more mature stores, there is a fair bit of cost that we are paying for us operating in a competitive market, right? So that impacts the delivery fee that we charge from consumers, that impacts the last mile cost that applies to even these stores, right? So I think all of that in long term will change. Also, as the business scales, our gross margins or sourcing margins should improve. Our ad income should improve, right? The contribution margin, the way we define it, also includes a lot of fixed costs, which are sort of fixed in nature, including back-end warehousing cost, employee cost, and so on. So I think there's a fair bit of room for the contribution margins to go up from where you see the top 5% stores are today to where they could be, let's say, 2, 3 years down the line.
Okay, good. The second question was, Akshant, on densification. So as you said, bulk of the new stores are more like network stores in the similar city. So have you seen that resulting in lower delivery cost? Because I'm hoping that the delivery radius would have come down across larger cities. So has that impact on delivery cost come down, or not yet? Or is that something we should expect?
Hi, Yogesh. Yes,
Hi.
so as densification happens, we do see delivery costs come down, which are primarily a function of the polygon of the stores becoming smaller. But on an aggregate level, that delta, the rundown is a lot slower because we are also expanding. Like you mentioned, more than 30% of the network is new. So when we open a new store, typically the polygons tend to be slightly bigger, especially if we are opening them in non-serviceable areas in the same city, or in nearby cities. So it's a combination of that. But to your core question, as we densify, the last mile cost does come down for us.
Got it, got it. And just related to that, at the store level, at least anecdotally, we have seen the rental, the picker salaries have gone up quite a bit. So is that something which will moderate or normalize, or is that something you expected in the business model and therefore doesn't bother you?
I think that has always been the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
I think so it was fairly built into how we think about the business, and we also think that that is it's a in some areas it is a unusual run up, which will also normalize in the near term.
Great. Very well. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Suresh.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Axis. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, thanks everyone. I just had one question. So, you mentioned about heightened marketing spends in the third quarter. Would you say that this was sort of evenly, or really the heightened activity happened, say, say in December or mid-November onwards, or this would be more uniform through the quarter?
I got it. It was not uniform. It was definitely more backloaded for us because the first half of the quarter was primarily the festival season, where we were already fairly close to our capacities. So we didn't really need to spend as much on marketing. And also, if you look at the trend of the last 2 quarters, as we keep on adding more stores, the need to spend on marketing sort of goes up. So what we were spending sort of November onwards was we opened 150 stores in the previous quarter. So those stores are also ramping up, and we were also adding stores at a steady clip in October as well. So that is what led to the marketing increase in the latter half.
Just a next question on dark store. You mentioned that, you know, obviously you have advanced your guidance of 2000 by end December. But in terms of, you know, the impact on losses, you have indicated the next one or two quarters. So should we then assume that the next 1000, most of it will come in the next two quarters and will not be as back ended?
Gaurav, it will be a little bit more dynamic because, right now, we've added, I would say, almost 300 stores over the last 4 or 5 months, right? And some of these stores towards the second half of the year will also start maturing and moving into a different category while we'll still be adding more stores, right? So it basically depends on sort of how this plays out because it's not a consistent trend throughout the year. There are a lot of seasonal factors which affect like store openings, our ability to hire people for the stores, and also like how our backend network scales up. So what we are hoping for is that as the percentage of stores which are not mature goes down towards the end of the year, we will start seeing better profitability.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gaurav Rateria from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, congrats on the milestone of 1,000 stores ahead of your schedule. My first question is on the key drivers for food delivery margins. You did talk about platform fee, but did the delivery cost also come down in that business? And what drives our confidence of margins going to 5% in the next few quarters? What would be the key drivers?
Yeah, hi, Gaurav. So, Silik, I think I don't want to be specific here given it's sort of comparatively sensitive, but in general, I think as we have mentioned in the past also, this business economics is a function of multiple levers, and I think it's the small optimizations which add up and result in margin expansion. So I think we sort of continue to therefore drive confidence from the progress that we are seeing across the board in various parts of the business, including delivery cost, you know, including the consumer fee going up, as you've seen in the past, and AOV going up and so on, right? So unfortunately, like, we can't be more specific than that, but that's where we are.
Okay, just I'm trying to understand, like, this optimization and all is obviously not coming at the cost of market share, right? The focus on maintaining market share will be primary goal, and then obviously with that in mind, you will be optimizing on the margins.
That's right, Gaurav.
Got it. Second question on quick commerce. Just want to understand what percentage of the total expansion is happening in our top one, top two cities, and what scope do you think we have on expanding these cities? Like, where do we kind of, you know, see maturity and store expansion slowing down for the top cities?
So, Gaurav, we are, I would say that more than half of the stores, we are expanding in the top 8 cities out of all the expansion that you've seen. About 20% of the expansion has come into new cities. And the rest is essentially non-serviceable areas in or around the top cities or the other cities which are already open for us.
Got it. Thirdly, on the bottom 250 stores, you gave some data around the contribution to GMV and the contribution margins. Is it fair to say that will be largely attributable to the latest quarter only because those are the newest stores and therefore they will be the most inferior in terms of their contribution margin and contribution to overall GOV?
Largely, that's true.
Got it. And lastly, you know, you did mention that by end of the year, a lot of the stores will kind of come to maturity. Would that basically be also aligning with a timeline for improvement in the unit economics in quick commerce business?
Gaurav, it's hard to say because, see, like we mentioned, we don't know. We will know better once we, I would say, are closer to 1,600, 1,700 stores, what the pipeline after 2,000 looks like. Right. So if we are still adding 30-35% of the network every quarter, then it is hard to predict whether the economics will move, the profitability will be like easy enough. But if we are at a situation where, you know, we are adding only 10-12% of the network every month, then of course we can
every quarter.
Every quarter, then we can confidently say that, you know, profit will be there. So a lot will depend on sort of where we are sitting in the second half of the year.
Got it. Thank you so much for answering all the questions and all the very best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sachin Salgaonkar from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions. First question, clearly we saw some slowdown on food. On quick commerce, for mature stores and mature users, are you guys seeing slowdown? And if not, should we expect some kind of a slowdown in sync with the macro economy?
Nothing so far, Sachin.
Got it. From a competitive perspective, how should one think about it? Is it across the board amongst all operators or just select one or two platforms? And the reason I'm asking, I'm trying to gauge how long this could continue.
Sachin, your guess is as good as ours. I don't think we have a really big point of view on. We see all of the competition as, you know, just competition. But I think our attempt is to do our job better and do what is right for our business. So I don't think that, you know, we are focused on, we even can differentiate between one or the other.
Got it. And as of now, one gets a sense you guys are maintaining your market share on the quick commerce side. So the question out here is, if the competition sustains for a long time, is there a thought process at some point, let's say, to, for example, introduce some kind of a loyalty program or in a way add a bit of a platform discounts and so on and so forth? Any general thoughts out there?
I don't think, Sachin, that we're, if we were planning to do something like that, we would disclose it on a conference call. But I think right now we are, I think our focus has been and always will remain on making sure that our service levels improve. And then we do what we do well for our customers, despite, you know, the increasing level of competition over the last, I would say, 6 quarters as well. We have maintained or increased our market share. So I think that is a strategy which is working for us, and I think that is what we will stick
to. Got it. One question on food. We saw the approach, let's say, between you guys and your top competitor being slightly different, where the focus of Bistro is more on the cloud kitchen perspective, and your competitor is largely working with the restaurants to sort of reduce to a select set of menu which could be delivered in 10 minutes. Wondering if that is something which you guys are also open to exploring, or will continue as of now to stick to the Bistro model?
So actually, Sachin, we've mentioned in question 10 that we've also launched the same feature that Swiggy has done, which you, I think you were referring to them. So a curated less than 15 minutes delivery with a curated menu and a dedicated fleet is something that we launched in the December quarter, and it's available in select locations right now, but we want to scale that as we move forward. So I think, so we're trying to address the need for quick delivery through various formats, and Bistro by Blinkit is sort of one of them, and we'll continue to make efforts to make the existing model of delivery from restaurants on Zomato also quicker as we go along.
Got it. And last question, Akshant. Last quarter, you did mention that there is no need to move to an inventory-led model, and you're happy largely with the marketplace model on quick commerce. I presume nothing changes out here, right?
That's right.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vijit Jain from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi. So my first question is on food delivery. Just taking off from what Sachin asked earlier, overall, your answer in that question seems, you're taking a nod to Zomato Instant, which you had experimented with earlier. It seems a little bit overall cautious on the whole 15-minute food delivery from restaurants offering, relatively speaking. Is that interpretation correct first? And secondly, if so, is that because you think it's harder to achieve metrics, NPS, whatever you have on that front? Is that why you seem a bit more cautious on that thing to me? That's my first question.
Which is that's not the case. I think the less than 15 minutes delivery offering on Zomato is something we're very excited about. But I think all these things, whether it is Zomato 15 minutes delivery or Bistro, are very, very nascent right now, right? I think it's not needed moving by a large significant distance today. So while we what we know for sure is that yes, quick deliveries lead to more demand. That is a fact. But the answers to get there, I think, is still early days in terms of what models will work, which models will work sustainably or profitably, and which models will be scalable to an extent where this becomes needle moving in the overall context. I think what I would say is that we are not sort of running too ahead on that yet. I think there's a lot of work to be done, and we'll see what things work and what don't.
Got it. And Akshant, my second question is on quick commerce. So first, the customer delivery charges, were they broadly lower across both new and old customers, would you say? Did you in terms of the take rate, the impact it has there? Because I see one answer to your question, one of the answers on the questionnaire where you mentioned the customer delivery charges for the customers you acquired in October, November, December, and you're highlighting that. So I'm just wondering, outside of those older customers, did they go down across the board for the customers you acquired in the last 2 years?
Vijay, this is Kunal here. It's largely indexed to new customers and driven by the increasing velocity of new store additions, where in the initial period we offer sort of lower or no delivery charges, right? Largely that.
Got it. And just the last question on that, the customer retention statistics that you've shared for the December 22 cohort. So mainly, if I understand that right, broadly at 40% for many quarters since December 22. How are the newer cohorts tracking versus that 40% number for the October to December quarter?
Yeah, I mean, they're, I mean, all tracking as per broadly our expectation. In fact, better than our expectation we had a couple of years ago. So, yeah, nothing that I want to highlight there, unless you have a specific question.
No. I was just wondering because you chose that specific cohort.
Because I think we chose that cohort because we wanted to show the retention of our core customers, and the way we've defined the core customer is a customer which is at least like 2 years old in this case, right? So the newer the customer, I think like it'll be early days, and the retention numbers therefore could be different. But broadly, this customer base that we have shown here in this table contributes to about one third of our GOV, right? So meaningful chunk of customers who've been with us for more than 2 years now, and their retention has actually increased. If you look through the quarter by 1 percentage points, despite perhaps this quarter being the most competitive that we've seen in the last 2, 3 years. So, that's, and these customers are also paying a healthy delivery fee of 20 rupees per order. And that's the point we wanted to make, that as Albinder mentioned, the work, that focus that we have on maintaining and continuously improving our service levels, I think, is sort of helping us be the platform of choice for our core customers, which is what matters most to us.
Got it. Great. Thanks. Thank you, everyone. Those were my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we will now take the last 1 to 2 questions. The next question is from the line of Rishi Jhunjhunwala from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Slightly different way in asking, the customer-related questions. So, in what, if you can give some color on what is your customer acquisition cost in areas where you are expanding, but say a competitor is already there, and customer retention costs in areas where you're already there and a peer is coming in and being very aggressive. And the reason, one of the reason I asked that also is because, you know, while there is a cost associated with expansion for you in the newer stores going from 1,000 to 2,000, just trying to understand if there is a pressure on profitability on your top 50, 100 and 150 store cohorts also, given that you possibly are doing customer retention initiatives.
Yeah, Rishi, we are not doing any specific customer retention initiative, by which I assume that you mean whether we are offering discounts to the customers to retain them. We don't do any of that. I think we invest in our service to be able to maintain customers. So to be specific, that is not something that we are doing, I think. And we've been largely able to both maintain or grow our market share in our top markets, because we continue to innovate on behalf of the customers. So that is just to address a specific point. I think your question around marketing, if we are going into a market after somebody's already entered the market, we do see, we do have to spend more on marketing to get the trials, but that is not usually a very significantly higher number. But what we see in the market is that whenever we enter a market, our retention rates on the customers that we actually acquire in those cities are higher than competition, which allows us to gain market share, which we've also demonstrated in a lot of the markets in South and East that we've entered after competition.
So is it, just to conclude on that, is it fair to assume that sequentially in your top 300 dark stores, your profitability has actually not gone down quarter on quarter?
That's right. Broadly, Rishi, I think what has changed, as we've also mentioned in our response to question five, is I think for the slightly older business, as you're saying, I think the margin expansion has paused. But I think our margins are broadly still intact. They haven't fallen.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, Akshan. Thanks for doing the call. So, you know, just trying to, you know, think about this losses. So, you know, just trying to understand, let's say, in two areas. Now, one is in terms of competition, and second, in terms of setup, you know, setup of infra. Would you say, let's say, this quarter or, you know, whatever you're witnessing now in January, the larger variable for loss increase here forth also will be you know, setting up of infra across the, let's say, from 1,000 store to 2,000 stores? Is that how one should think about it? What I'm trying to broadly understand is, let's say, by all the interventions which you plan to do, you know, is there a theoretical loss cap which you have, let's say, to, you know, have a particular revenue market share intact? I'm just trying to gauge that.
Yeah, so I think we're not thinking that way, Manish. I don't think we are operating from a mindset of a cap on losses, because I think as long as our mental model or framework here is that if the underlying core business is strong and if we have the bandwidth or capacity or capability to expand at a faster pace than we are doing today, then I think we'll do that. And then losses is going to be an outcome of that, right? So we're not operating from a fixed budget on expansion at this point, given that the market is very large and we clearly see a first mover advantage in this business in getting to consumers first. So we'll scale as fast as we can.
And would you say that the larger part of the, let's say, the loss or investments this quarter would be because of stores not getting matured? Or would it be competition, if I had to put 70-30, 50-50, any sense of that?
Well, it's almost 100% going to be expansion. And expansion is not just the stores that we'll open in this quarter, but even the stores that we opened in December quarter or September quarter, some of those stores, I mean, in terms of, like, if you look at the overall store network and look at the capacity utilization, that metric is falling every quarter actually for us, because we are adding way more new stores than what we did in the previous quarter. So I think 100% of our, or most of our losses, if they increase from here, is going to be account of that, unless something meaningfully changes on competition that we don't know today.
Okay, just one last one. So in terms of, you know, I'm sure you all gather a lot of data. So in terms of order market share for both food delivery and quick commerce, you know, let's say for quick commerce, how would that number, any sense, stack up in, let's say, your core market, let's say Delhi versus, I'm just trying to understand market share for you guys in both the segments. and for quick commerce, largely in Delhi. How is that stacking up in your view? You know, with this loss rate, run rate, are you able to maintain market share, or you know, are you still losing market share? I'm just trying to gauge that. Thanks.
Yeah, so first of all, Manish, we don't track order market share. We don't think that's a relevant market share, because that can be manipulated, especially if you're doing free deliveries. Then you see order splitting, and therefore it doesn't present the right picture. But we do track the GOV market share, and so far we don't think our GOV market share has changed meaningfully despite the competition, and that's an important metric for us. I think we want to continue to be the market leader as we build the infrastructure further from here on, and as long as it makes sense, we would want to continue to be in that position.
Okay, thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conclude this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.